the sin of the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line, I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Help me sing it. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line, I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. One last time. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line, I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine.
Thankful for that tonight. We've got quite a few prayer requests tonight that we'll go over these and ask Brother Rob Weber if he don't mind to come up and pray over these. But first of all, we've got a very serious prayer request to share with you. Meredith Maxwell, Brother Jim, Sister Linda Maxwell's daughter, was involved in a serious car accident in Savannah, Georgia about 5 p.m. today. She was airlifted to Savannah Memorial Hospital, both legs severely injured, probably broken. Jim and Linda are on their way there. It will take about 7 hours for the trip. Prayers are needed. So let's please pray for Meredith and for Jim and Linda, just that God's angels will just be with them and with her. Sister Sarah Carroll's father in Arkansas has an infection, needs prayer. Please pray for Ivan England's mom. She's in hospital getting a stent put in and surgery on both legs in the morning to remove gangrene and get blood flow in her legs. So let's remember that. Pray for a brother going through a hard trial. Pray that Jesus will save Lori Tittle, Zach Tittle, Shaylee Tittle, and Ashton Tittle. So let's remember that. Sister Jackie Williams wants to thank God for a good report that she received concerning some tests that she recently had. So we appreciate that. We have been praying for you. Brother Frank told us. Happy to hear that report. Please pray for Greg and Shirley Robbins, both having back problems this evening. Pray for Sister Linda Loris, who has a fast heartbeat, not come down for some time. So let's remember that. Steve Persaud from New York called to request prayer in regard to finding a job. He's been unemployed for quite some time and desires to reenter the workforce and be able to provide for himself and his mother. So let's remember him. Please remember Victoria Thomas in prayer. She continues her battle with gout. She also requests prayer for her children ages 11 to 13 that God would help them deal with the peer pressure at school. Thank you. Please pray for my cousin Charles Bowen of Gadsden, Alabama. He was admitted to the hospital yesterday in severe pain. He's been told that he has bone cancer. He and his wife were here at Happy Valley last year for my mother's funeral. That's from Brother Palmer. So let's remember that very serious need. Sister Cynthia Parker having severe gallstone attacks. Let's remember that. And then finally, if you'll stand as Brother Rob comes, last request. Good evening. Could you please request prayer for my grandson? He's just 3 years old and has some problems with speaking. We don't know what the problem is, but his mom and dad are taking strain over the situation. They're going to have specialists to see him to find out what the problem is. I know that the devil is at work and also know that the solution is Jesus Christ, who has already healed him. They need some supporting prayer. I believe that God can direct my daughter and son-in-law the way He wants them to go. And just let's remember them. This is from our brother in Christ, Dean, from South Africa. So let's remember that serious need also as Brother Rob comes.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You once again. We come before You in prayer. We thank You, Lord, these many requests that have gone out. Lord, the Maxwell family, I pray, Lord God, as we lift them before You in prayer, Lord, for the need that was spoken. I remember Brother Jim with his accident last year, whenever it was, on his leg, Lord, and now his daughter. I pray, Lord God, as a body, as a family, Lord, we lift them before You in prayer, Lord, knowing that it's not a surprise to You, that You are more than able to accomplish anything in these days, Lord, before us, and it's just a greater opportunity for You to put Your hand upon them. I pray as we lift them up before You as a body, I thank you, Lord, for all these requests, Lord. There is nothing in our ability to do anything about these requests other than submit our lives to you, our hearts to you, our very souls to the cause of the kingdom. And I pray, Lord God, as we lift them before you in prayer, we are doing what you have asked us to do, and you want to perform these things. And we believe, Lord, and are faithful, Lord, in these prayer requests being answered. We thank you for the testimonies that have been then also that have been given and the ones that will come. And we know, Lord God, that where you are, supernatural is. And these things take place by your will. And it's your desire, not because that we want to show off anything, but it is your desire that these signs shall follow them that believe. In Jesus' name, amen.
You can be seated this evening. Thank you, Brother Rob. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arm. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arm. And secure from all alarm, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arm. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arm. Path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arm. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, leaning, I'm leaning on the everlasting arm. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on your everlasting arm. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arm. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, leaning, I'm leaning on the everlasting arms.
Amen. When the reason that I'm standing, if the brothers would like to come tonight and lift the offering for us. Let's sing "When the Reason That I'm Standing Stands in Front of Me." We'll ask Brother Harry to start that first verse for us.
I have stood for the gospel when it seemed I stood alone. Through the heartaches and frustrations, kept my focus on the throne. So many times I have recalled the Savior's words so true. If you won't be ashamed of me, I won't be of you. So I proudly stand until I see the face of the one who gave everything for me.
When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, every battle that I fought will fade from memory. I'm bound before His mighty throne and fall down on my knees. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me.
Sing the second verse.
not been easy, and at times I've lost my way. So often I've stumbled, searching for the light of day. Circumstances all around me, I thought I'd surely fall, when the whispering of doubt and fear told me you would lose it all. But He kept you with His amazing grace. And someday soon I'll have the chance to thank Him face to face.
When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, every battle that I fought will fade from memory. Fall down on my knees when the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me.
We will join the millions, every kindred, tongue, and race, and every child of God that day will look upon His face. And the heroes and the martyrs who died on the pagan sword, we'll all stand together and declare, Jesus is Lord.
When the reason that I'm standing,
I want to declare it tonight.
From memory, I'll bow before His mighty throne and fall down on my knees when the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me.
Let's sing that, millions.
We will join the millions, every kindred, tongue, and race. Every child of God that day will look upon His face. And the heroes and the martyrs who died on the pagan sword, we'll all stand together.
Find that song. He could have called 10,000 angels and see. Let's sing this together.
Well, they bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where He prayed. They led Him the streets in shame. They spat upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, crucify Him, peace to blame.
Let's stand tonight. I enjoy coming and loving on him some.
Amen.
There's people gathered all across the world tonight. And scripture we talked about this weekend was, you know, with their mouth they honor him and with their lips and but their hearts are far from him. There's a lot of activities and programs and, you know, things to get the young people there, and people at work tell me some of the great stuff they're doing to get people inside the building.
Yeah.
But when everything's said and done, not one time did you hear anything about anybody raising their hands and worshiping.
Amen.
I appreciate your sacrifice for me, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's why I'm here tonight. I know that's why you're here tonight. I'm happy to be with people of like precious faith. Amen. Let's love on him some more while Brother Donnie gets ready to come and bring us the word. Let's just sing this as Brother Donnie comes.
Oh, I love that man. In the middle, because I know he first loved me. Praise to that man who died on Mount Calvary. Little man made it possible that I could go through.
free. Let's sing that chorus together again. I love that man in the middle because I know he first loved me.
Praise to that man who died on Mount Calvary. The middleman made it possible I could. Once again, let's sing it together. Everybody. Oh, I love that man in the middle because I know he first loved. Died on Mount Calvary, the middleman made it possible that I could go free. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we are so grateful tonight. Dear God, we just don't have the right words to say and enough of them to be able to express our gratitude. Lord, where would we be tonight if it wasn't for your love and your mercy that you would be willing to take our place? He who knew no sin becomes sin that we might be made the very righteousness of God in him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray that'll never become old and common to us, Father. May we always appreciate it and love it with all of our heart. Amen. Father, as we are about to look into your word, I pray, dear God, that you would just help us, that our understanding would be fruitful. May our hearts be the good ground by which the word seed can go upon that ground and bring forth a crop that is pleasing to you, Lord. Dear God, we are so grateful that we can have a receiving and a believing heart. Father, I'm just asking you that you be mindful of all the needs of your people. So much sickness, so much stuff going on, Lord. I just pray that you'd help us, dear Father. Lord, you say, I've got this prayer cloth that I'm going to wear tonight. Sister Cheryl Gould's taking a fall, Lord, a few days ago and injuring her knee. And I'm just asking you, Lord, that you'd just be mindful of her. Others, Father, that are sick and needy, grant it, dear God. Anoint our hearts to be able to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And the saints said,
amen.
Let's turn together to Genesis chapter 27, verse 26. I want to speak to you again tonight on the lives of the prophets, and we want to look at Jacob again.
Amen.
I don't know about you, I'm enjoying this.
Amen. That's good.
I hope I'm not destroying y'all's heroes. I know it tends to be with human beings that we love hero worship. And when many times the humanity of these great heroes is brought out, a lot of folks just can't handle it. But to me, I love it. It just absolutely helps me so much to see how God is able to take people just like us. People just like us.
Amen.
And do great things out of their lives. Genesis chapter 27, verse 26. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is that the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren. And let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. Now what's amazing about this is Isaac thinks this is Esau. Now it shows how good people who love God can be so wrong. This man has every intention of giving this patriarch prophetic blessing to the wrong boy. And in his own mind, he thinks that these words are going to Esau. But yet God had another plan. Now, we know that the means by which Jacob and his mother went to get this was not the plan of God. Let's look at it again now in verse 28. Therefore God give thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee. Now prophecy, you have to really be careful when you're looking at prophecy. Because it can be said in such a way, and if you look for that to happen literally in the way that it is said, you'll miss it a million miles. Now, just to read this prophecy, it would seem as if though, and this is prophecy, you know that, it would seem as if though that this is going to happen to Jacob himself. But yet Jacob had a life of great trouble. And actually, no one ever really served Jacob. Jacob was not Lord over his brother. Jacob did not have dominion over other nations or other tribes. But was this prophecy false? No, sir. It was true, but it was true in the right way. Now, if you'd want to be really particular and try to take these words, word by word, and apply them to Jacob only, as it would seem as if, though, that's where it was going, you make Isaac a false prophet. But now Jacob is the head of this race. So one person can stand in proxy, and the prophecy will be directed seemingly to that individual, but yet it will cover hundreds and hundreds of years and thousands of people. Folks would be a lot better off if they take Brother Rem's prophecies the same way sometimes. Let people serve thee. Notice, he did not say, let people serve your people. Or let people serve your seed. But let people serve thee. Praise the Lord. And let nations bow down to thee. Well, glory. Be Lord over thy brethren. He didn't have any brethren. He had one brother. And let thy mother's sons. His mother didn't have another son other than his twin. Praise the Lord. You see what I'm saying? This is why we have to be careful when we are studying prophecy, to make sure that we have the understanding. Now, people can look at this and say, well, it was wrong. He missed it. There's not one word that's said here that is wrong. But you have to have the right understanding, or it can seem as if, though, that it is wrong. Now watch, he said, let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. But did Esau ever bow down to Jacob? Never. When Jacob even come back from Padan Aram, it was not Esau that bowed to Jacob. It was vice versa. Right? Exactly right. It was not Esau who gave Jacob gifts. It was vice versa. He gave him hundreds of rams and camels and sheep and all kinds of things. He never bowed to him one day of his life. Prophecy takes understanding. Let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. Now, it started as far as part of the fulfillment of this in the time of Joshua, and then later in the times of the judges, but it come into more full fruition in the time of David. But yet it was not fulfilled in the person of Jacob at all. There was none of this as far as the fullness of the prophecy that ever was accomplished in the life of Jacob himself. Now watch, he says, let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee, and be Lord over thy brethren. Yet this did not happen in the life of Jacob. It did not happen even in some of the lives of his sons, but prophetically, this word was accumulative in that it would be fulfilled in a multi-layered way. So God could speak it as if though it was to one person, but it was to that one person and his posterity. Now, because he is the head of this race, then God could say it to him, and God would multiply and divide how this blessing would go. That ought to make you shout about that high, because if God could do it to Jacob, God could do it to Jesus. So if God, amen, God could say things to Jesus, the head of the new race, and part of that would come down to Luther, part of it down to Wesley, part of it down to Brother Branham, and part of it down to us. Amen. Now you realize it's the same way here then with Jacob, that it would be the fulfillment of this would cover hundreds and hundreds of years. Be Lord over thy brethren. Now, of course, he never was Lord over his brothers. And then it goes on. Now, the last phrase of this is the blessing of Abraham. Now, God never said this to Abraham, be Lord over thy brother. But this part now is compounded, which was Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. And he said, cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. So now the blessing of Abraham has now been extended on down unto the next generation. But now remember, the whole time Isaac thinks this is going to Esau. Now look in verse 30. And it came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father. I imagine he's sweating bullets. That's probably one sermon he was hoping his daddy would cut short. I mean, he was lacking all them blessings and all the dew and all the honey and all the oats and all the barley. He was saying, daddy, hurry up, whatever you do, talk fast. Oh, you imagine that the man must have been so nervous, and think how close that it was that the scripture says, Moses writing it, said that he was scarce gone out before his brother come in. Now notice he said, and Jacob was scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. Now of course, whenever he goes out, Esau, remember Esau has already come back into the camp. He's already in his tent getting the real venison ready while Jacob is getting his blessing. So this is how close the time frame was that this was working out. Oh my, I'll tell you, I'd been scared to death. Well, I'd never gone through it. I'm too big a coward. And he also made savory meat and brought it into his father and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison. Now here comes the real son with the real venison, with the real obedience to the command of his father. But yet Jacob has already come in with what Isaac thought was venison, and had the camel hair on him, the camel goat hair on his arms, with what he thought was Esau's arms, and kissed him and thought it was Esau's neck, and had on the garment that he thought was Esau. And here comes Esau with the real arm and the real neck and the real garment, but not the real seed in the heart. So you, oh my, oh Lord God, give me that any day over the hair on the arm, the hair on the neck. Don't you understand how folks can impersonate the value of Christianity, and they can have the right amount of hair on the arm, spiritually speaking now. They can have the right amount of hair on the neck, but they ain't got the seed inside the soul.
And you know what? Really, the birthright don't have the same value to them as it does to Jacob. To Esau, it meant blessings and natural wealth. That was not what it meant to Jacob at all. Oh, hallelujah. So he makes savory meat. Now he has the real venison. He has all the real thing. Now he comes in and watch how he approaches. Sincere, honest. He brought it unto his father and said to his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. Now he comes in a respectful manner. He addresses his father in the right way. He's done exactly word by word what his daddy said. And now he's approaching, you can tell by his language, he's approaching his daddy in a respectful manner, and he knows in a matter of moments, my, he's going to get what he really, really wants. Now notice verse 32. And Isaac, his father, said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I'm thy son, thy firstborn, Esau. Oh my goodness, he knows it's something. You imagine now, he hears the voice of his father Isaac, which is now troubled. And then the tone, no doubt, that Esau answers back his question and said, who are you? He said, I'm Esau. By now, Esau is already getting trouble because it's something that don't sound just exactly right. And Isaac, now notice Isaac's response, and Isaac trembled very exceedingly. What would cause him to tremble? What is going on? Now here he hears what he would hope to hear. And Esau is doing exactly what he felt that he was told to do. And he's responding exactly to what his father told him. And yet you imagine how Esau sees his daddy and he goes to shaking uncontrollably and quivering and shaking and he can't even keep still. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? And where? What's the order the way he says it? It don't even make sense. It's a man that is so tore up, he's not even answering in the right way. Who? And where is he? Oh my, who? Where is he that hath taken venison? You see, he still don't know. He still don't know. It was not deer. It was goat. Who is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him. And yea, he shall be blessed. Oh, glory. Now you imagine here is Isaac. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. So let me ask you now. So if you were in that day and this is the first family of the message, and it was now being rumored among the believers following the message that Isaac, the prophet, has been deceived by his son. And he is giving the blessing to supposedly the wrong boy. Would some of y'all left the message? What if a man ain't got no better judgment than that? Could he lead you to the promised land? Well, glory. Now, the Hebrew here says that whenever Isaac trembled, that he trembled with a great trembling exceedingly. He was amazed, astonished, and seized with the trembling. Almost like a seizure. Almost like a seizure that he's just so shook up. And you imagine Esau as he's watching his daddy. In the back part of his mind, he knew, I know who's at fault here. It's my brother. I know who's responsible for this. Oh my. So now with terror and confusion of mind, Isaac said, who, what, who has done this? You imagine he is so overwhelmed because now he realizes for the first time God's sovereign grace has overrode his stubbornness. Oh, thank you, Lord. Notice the difference. Both Isaac and Esau are determined to do this behind the tent flaps as it was and be a secret. But God has overrode. God allowed allowed this to override. Why? The Jacob was the one who's going to get that blessing, not Esau. And now you imagine Isaac is shaking and quivering, and he's coming from several different points and perspectives. Now he's blessed Jacob, and he realizes this was God. Notice how he says this. I have blessed him, and he shall be blessed. It finally hits him, Brother Jim. Oh, God, I realize what I was fixing to do. I was going to give the blessing to the wrong one. And he becomes so tore up and so shaking and quivering. Oh, notice Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, he shall be blessed. Irrevocable. Can't take it back. Can't change his mind. Isaac now sees he has been deceived. Isaac now knows God allowed this to happen, and it fell upon the right one. Amen. You know that men oftentimes will do things, and they have in their mind. You know how many times that men will, even our enemies will, set a certain goal, and they try to do something against us that they think will destroy us or at least affect us in a negative way. And yet many times God will turn that thing right around and turn it right into a blessing on our part. Now what's amazing is he'll turn it into a blessing on your part, and he'll wear the hide off them because they done you wrong. They'll answer for it. Now, isn't it amazing how God can do that? Now you realize the devil can't do that for his. If God ever aims evil towards the devil's children, the devil ain't got the ability to turn that evil around and make it a blessing to them. But that's one thing about God being your father, that when the devil's kids go to aiming wrong for you, God will stand between you and the evil, and he'll turn that into a blessing. Though it might be difficult while you're dealing with it, he will turn it into a blessing because he has the upper hand, and the devil can't do that. Oh, praise the Lord. What's this in Genesis chapter 50 verse 19? Joseph said unto them, fear not, once he's made himself known to his brothers, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Now notice how God is able to take something that people mean, I mean bad. They mean really, really bad. They're going to do this and that and the other to you. But God will turn it right around and make it work to his glory. Now Isaac is intending to sneak around and give this to Esau, but God said, oh no, you're not. This does not belong to Esau. He's not living a life worthy of the gospel. Notice again in Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Brother Branham was going to take his life several times. His heart devised his way, but the Lord directed his steps. He took his gloves off when he's going to touch the power line, but the next thing he knew, his steps was on the ground, and he was at the bottom of the pole. Thank God he was. How many times have you and I done exactly the same thing? We made up in our mind, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do that. And somehow in the midst of all that, God turns it right around, and it makes it work. We say, how in the world did I get here? I was over there, going there, going there, and going there, and yet I wound up here. How did that happen? He's still able to knock you at the bottom of the pole. Praise God. Aren't you glad that he can? Notice again in Proverbs 19:21, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. Now here God had to do it this way with divine sovereignty. He had to come in. Notice again now in Genesis 27:34, and when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry. Hearing what? Not just that Jacob had come and got it, but that the words were irrevocable. If Jacob would have stole the blessing, and then his father would have said, but son, that don't matter, because he deceived me, he lied to me, I will retract what I said, I'll take it back from him, and I'll give it to you. But when he heard his daddy say, I have blessed him, and he shall be blessed, he knew it could not be took back. just to let the devil know. Did you hear what my daddy said about me? He said, I was ordained before the foundation of the world. That can't be took back. He slipped this wedding band of predestinated unmerited grace on my hand before the world ever began. Hallelujah. I am his and he is mine. Time nor nothing else can ever take that away from me. I am blessed. Yay! I will be blessed. It is irrevocable. It cannot be changed. Oh. Now watch, here comes Esau. Oh, he begins to weep and wail and cry. But he's not crying down on an altar now. He's not crying tears of repentance. The Latin Vulgate says it this way. He roared like a lion. He screamed and hollered. Oh my, must have got into it in such a degree. It was almost like a wild animal. I find it very hard to not believe there might have been somewhat of a little drama in it as well, since he was his daddy's favorite. And if daddy's heart can be broken, who knows what daddy will do. Daddies still do the same thing. They will break the word. They will break their vows. And oh, hallelujah. Esau's tears, though, are not tears of repentance. He's not, oh, God, what have I done? I've been such a fool. I married pagan women. I've not lived right. I've not done right. God, be merciful to me. Oh, God, help me. He's not praying to God. He's begging to his daddy. Now you wonder if it was not part of this strange family scenario that helped bring Esau to this spot, thinking that, well, you know, I'm daddy's favorite. I really don't have to do all of this because daddy will make sure that I get it anyway. I'm convinced, friends, that's a lot of folks' mindset in this message. They think they're so elected they can live any way they want to live. They can do anything they want to do. You're terribly, terribly wrong about such. You will wind up like Esau if you're not careful. I don't care if you're elect or not elect. You've still got to live a certain life and you've got to walk according to this word or it proves you're not elect. Mm-hmm. Oh my. You imagine now he weeps and he cries. His daddy's shaking and carrying on. And Esau's weeping and howling like an animal. Oh, what must have been going on inside that tent? So he's weeping bitterly and howling and crying. Oh, my father. Oh, my father. Oh, my father. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great exceeding and bitter cry. And he said unto his father, bless me! Yeah. Yeah. Nothing about forgiveness. Nothing about I'm wrong. Nothing about I'm sorry. Nothing about my fault. Bless. Bless. He'd make a good TV preacher today, wouldn't he? Brother Esau from down in Dallas or up in Chicago somewhere. Now, Esau wanted the blessing, but he didn't want to be the kind of man God could bless. Look at it today. Folks want the blessing of God, but they don't want to be the kind of people that God can truly bless, not only financially, but with himself. I don't just want the blessings of God. I want the blessing of God. Listen to me. I don't just want the blessings of God. I want the blessing of God. I want to be blessed with God. Not money, not houses, not clothes. I want to, oh, hallelujah. I want to be blessed with God. I want God to be my portion. I want God to be my inheritance. That's the blessing of God I want more than anything. That's what Jacob wanted. The birthright meant he got to be the father of the Messiah.
Yeah. Amen.
Esau knows that's gone. But what's he crying for? What's he praying for? Blessings. Blessings, 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 blessings. That spirit ain't dead, is it? Oh, he said unto his father, bless me, even me. Oh my, you imagine how he's playing on his daddy's feelings. Oh daddy, Daddy, you know I'm your favorite. I don't blame you. It's that stinking pride. It's that stinking message stuff. Oh, now watch him how he plays on this. Oh, he said unto his father, bless me, even me. Even me, your favorite. Oh, my father. The man who despised his birthright, lived evil and wicked, now is crying. But crying for the wrong thing. Watch in verse 35, and he said, thy brother came with subtlety and has taken away thy blessing. And he said, is he not rightly named Jacob? Now, wait a minute. We're just getting up from the altar now. Crying and repenting and squalling and carrying on. Within a matter of seconds, we're turning on somebody. Man, we're just a screaming and a squalling and carrying on off of several words. Oh, Father, bless me. Oh, Father, bless me. And I mean, in a few short seconds, we're already turning. And this enmity and hatred is coming out of our hearts. Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. Esau, you are a liar. Jacob never supplanted you the first time. You sold it. But now watch him employ upon his father's emotions now. Now his father's already said, your brother come in and supplant you. That's right, Daddy. Amen. Amen. That's right, Daddy. Preaching. I'm with you, boy. Amen. That's right. He you supplanted me these two times. Careful, Esau. You see, Esau is the type of person that is not going to admit that he's wrong. He's not going to admit that he's done wrong, but he's going to lay the blame on somebody else. Amen. He's supplanting me these two times. He took away my birthright. That is a lie. He never done any such thing. Behold, now he has taken away my blessing. Well, that he did. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? Little old me? Your little old darling son? Oh my. And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy Lord. Oh my goodness. Now here comes the message from the messenger of the day, which is putting a difference between elect and non-elect. And no matter whether Isaac said it, Luther said it, Wesley said it, or Brother Branham said it, or Donnie Reagan says it, anytime you say it that way, it makes non-elect fighting mad. Praise the Lord. Now here is Isaac now giving the furtherance of the message. Now it's moved from Abraham, and it's moving from Isaac now to the next generation. Now here comes the word, the prophetic utterance that he had said to Jacob. Now here he's going to give him the bad news. And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy Lord. And can you imagine? Isaac was doing his very best to make Esau Jacob's Lord. It would be like putting the church over the bride. It would be like putting the church on the throne of God and the bride in the tribulation period. Isaac had every intention, saints, of giving this to Esau. Thank God for predestination. Behold, I have made him thy Lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. Where'd he get that power? Took an awful lot on himself, didn't he? You mean to tell me this man is standing up and saying that the seven angels come and met him, standing up and saying he's Malachi 4 and this, that, and other, he's got a right to do that? Yep, if you're the man, you do. Now, if you ain't the man, then you ain't got the right. You mean to tell me Isaac had the right to say, I have sustained him? Yep, because he had the word of God. I have sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? All of his brothers will serve him. I've given him corn, wine, and I've made him your Lord. And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even little old me. Oh, my father. What's all the possessives now? Me and my father. Don't you see what he's trying to do? Don't you see what people do who don't understand election and predestination and they try to play on your emotions? What kind of God would let this person do this? I don't know where that's coming from. Esau. Hey, if you got a problem with predestination, you need to talk to God. He's the one who set it in order, not me. I'm just called to preach it. I wasn't the one who orchestrated predestination. God did before the world began. But it's like Esau will not let go. What's he doing? He keeps going back to the emotion. Now remember, Isaac, something has happened to Isaac. Oh, can't you see, children? This verse actually brought this man to a changed heart. There is no way that Isaac is going back from this point on. Why? He has been changed. This encounter with Jacob and the election of God has made a change in this man which was getting away from his spot. Isn't it amazing how that out of this very thing, God was able to turn this man right back on the original track of the word. And Isaac was not going to be moved now because he knew it was divinely spoken by God, not him. He realized his emotions led him astray. He realized his false love for Esau led him astray. But he realized that God was the one who let this happen. So what remains, my son? What can I do? Oh, he weeps and he cries. Oh, my father. My father. And Esau said unto his father, thou but one blessing, my father, bless me, even me also, oh, my father. And he lifted up his voice and wept. Verse 39, and Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth. But let's listen real carefully. This is what God said to Jacob. Therefore God give thee of the dew of the heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. But this is what's said to Esau. His father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven. From above. Now he cannot give him that which will conflict with the bride's blessing. I mean Jacob. Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth. Now it seems like and sounds like that it's the same thing because of the words. But it's the way he used the words. It's sort of like John 3:16, you know. Now, if you'll notice, whenever he goes to speaking to Esau, he does not mention the name Elohim. He does not mention the name Adonai or Jehovah. Notice I go straight into this and watch what he gives him. And Isaac his father answered and said to him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth. Leaves God totally out by either one of his characteristic names. But what does he allocate to Esau? Temporal blessings of the earth. No spiritual inheritance. He did not say, may Elohim be upon thee. May the Lord God do this to you. May the Lord God. But he says the fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven. Now watch. And he said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be as the fatness of the earth. But when you look at this in the Hebrew, in the changing of the words, it says literally from the fatness of the earth or away from the fatness of the earth. He's not giving him the same thing he gave Jacob. But he's saying, I gave Jacob the dew. I gave Jacob the rain. I gave Jacob corn and wine and the blessings of Elohim. But your lot will be away from the fatness of the earth. Do you know why? Esau in his attitude refuses to be under the administration of Jacob and inherit a greater portion than what he would have got on his own. So when he refuses, then this is what's said to him. It is basically a modified curse. That's what he gets. He gets a modified curse. Now, if he would have subjected himself to Jacob and said, this must be the will of God. This must be what God wants. I don't understand what them bright preachers preach, and I don't understand this, that, and the other. But I'm not going to aggravate them. I'm not going to run them down and talk about them. I'm just going to go on and do what I want to do. They'd have a whole lot better chance of walking at least on the outside of the city. But the way it is, they're taking their own destiny into their own hands, out from under the providential rule which God gave to his elect, and God will drive them from the fatness of heaven. He will drive them from the dews, which will be your daily sustenance, which will give you life and keep you in the time of trouble, and they will stand before him as unbelievers. Whew, that was a mouthful. Notice, literally from the fatness of the earth or the fat places of the earth. Away from the fatness of the earth, away from the dew, a substantial repetition. Now, reading it, it would seem as though it's exactly the same until you really look at it word by word and you realize here is Esau begging and begging. He's begging for a blessing apart from Jacob. Don't you tie me nothing to him. I don't want nothing to do with him. He'll not rule over me. He'll not be superior to me in understanding. He'll not be superior to me in this and that and the other. I don't want nothing to do with him. I want my own thing. God said, fine. I'll call them bride and I'll call you church. Now watch what he says. Thy dwelling shall be away from the fatness of the earth and away from the dew from heaven. He leaves out the corn. He leaves out the wine. And he leaves out the name of God. Now watch him go to verse 40. By the sword shalt thou live. Uh-oh. So fussing, fighting, YouTubing, Facebooking, lying. Friends, can't you see this? Can you see what I'm saying? Can't you see when people refuse to walk with this word and they refuse to come out from under the canopy of Malachi 4, why they resort to fussing and fighting and picking? Why? They're taking up the sword of Esau. For by thy sword shalt thou live. What? They're going to be a fierce, warlike disposition of a people. And if you study the people of Mount Seir, you study the Edomites, which is who they became, and you'll find that it was constant enemies, and they constantly looked for opportunities by which they could join somebody against the Jews. In the Babylonian captivity, the Edomites joined up with the enemy to try to crucify and kill them. Even on up to the time of the Lord Jesus, Josephus writes about, before Jerusalem fell to the Romans, the Edomites come in and betrayed them. Why? It was constantly there. Watch this. The Edomites came. Let me read this little bit of history to you. The Edomites came and seized upon the southwest parts of Judea during the Babylonian captivity. Settled there. Before and after this, they were almost continually at war with the Jews. Upon every occasion, they were ready to join with their enemies. It's a sad day when people who've sat around the Word of God of this hour will join with Laodicea against this message. They'll join with the media, or they'll join with whoever. Can't you see who they are and where they're going? They got to take up their sword. But let them take up their sword, because before long, God's going to take up His bride. I'd rather let the bride be took up with her myself. Oh my, they were almost continually at war with the Jews. Upon every occasion, they were ready to join with their enemies. And when Nebuchadnezzar besieged Jerusalem, they encouraged him utterly to destroy the city, say, raise it, even to the foundations of it. Now, can you imagine? These are their family. These are their kin. But this hatred which Esau is fixing to display toward his brother Jacob, it ain't going to end with them two brothers. It's going to go to their posterity for thousands of years. Can you imagine what kind of people would this be? Whenever God is going to let the king of Babylon come, and these people are actually saying, tear it down, destroy Jerusalem, get rid of it, annihilate it. Why? Their hatred for them people was so severe. But this is the amazing part. The Esaus can hate the bride, run her down, lie on her, call her names, cause her the awfulest bunch of trouble ever was. But there ain't a one of them bride members that's got the Holy Ghost that hates a one of them. And if you got any hate, I want to tell you tonight, you ain't got the Holy Ghost like you need it. You hate sin, you hate the devil, but Brother Donnie, how in the world can you say that? Because I'm a Christian, that's why. I want to be like Jesus. I don't want to just heal the sick like Jesus. I don't want to just do miracles like Jesus. I want to love like Jesus and turn the other cheek like Jesus, which is a whole lot harder to do than healing the sick. False anointed ones can do that. I want to love like Him. I want to be like Him. If people run me down, let them run me down. I'm going to pray for them. I hope and pray to God there's none who's caused us such trouble. I was praying today. I said, God, please, don't let none of these folks that's left this word go to hell on my sake. Don't let none of them be lost on account of me, God. Please, if there's any way, bring them back, Father. Bring them back to light. You mean you actually feel that way? I actually feel that way. And if I don't, I need to start preaching and hit this altar tonight. Now watch this. Even long after they were subdued by the Jews, they retained the same martial spirit. For Josephus in his time gives them the character of a turbulent, disorderly nation. Always erect to commotions and rejoicing and changes. At the least adulation. And those who beseech them beginning war and hastening the battles as to a feast. Terrorist. So here's Esau. He's bent down before his father. Hear his daddy saying these words. His daddy's speaking Hebrew. He understands Hebrew. He hears his daddy saying, you'll not have the blessing of two. You'll not have the blessing of your brother. You'll not have fatness. He'll live in a land flowing with milk and honey. But you'll live in a desert. It'll be sparse. It'll be dry. There'll be days you won't even have to. And he gets up after church. And he is ready to kill somebody. You imagine going to church and leaving with murder in your heart. Lord Jesus. Now remember, these events, as in Jacob, would not be necessarily fulfilled and completed in Esau, because Esau is the head of this race. So prophetically, the blessing, if you want to call it that, the modified curse, is being said to him, thou shalt by thy sword shalt thou live, thou shalt serve thy brother, and it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. 2 Samuel 8:13, and David gat him a name among the returned among the smiting of the Syrians in the valley of Salt, being 18,000 men, and he put garrisons in Edom. Now this is Esau's country. Throughout all Edom put he garrisons. And all they of Edom became David's servants. Here is the blessing pronounced by Isaac to Jacob's seed hundreds and hundreds of years later. Praise the Lord. Right here it is where he's ruling over his brother. Who? Jacob, David. Hang on till you see. Jesus didn't overcome everything as far as Laodicea and all that when he was here. But he'll do it through Jesus done it. Well, glory! There's things we have to deal with today. There wasn't year when Paul was here. There wasn't year when the Lord Jesus in the body of flesh was here. You understand what I'm saying? But we will consummate it all. And we will overcome it all. It was spoke to the head. And it will end up in the last day bride of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Notice he says in this prophecy, by thy sword shalt thou live, and thou shalt serve thy brother, and it shall come to pass, and thou shalt have dominion, thou shalt break his yoke. Now in the reign of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, the Edomites revolted from the dominion of Judah and made themselves a king. Now watch, here is their part of the prophecy that the church would have a revival. Now, if these folks want to leave a message and they'll leave it in the right way, you know what? God will bless Lot for just going to Han being a penny. But when they get in trouble is when they go to blessing these silver dollars. When they go to cursing them, then that's when they cut themselves off even from the book of life. Not the Lamb's book, but the book of life. Now here God is going to allow the Edomites to be broken out from under the dominion of Judah. And when he does, God will not curse them because of it. God will actually let them go and let them come out from under the dominion. Oh, if the church could have only realized that. If America could have only realized that in the 50s, she wouldn't be in the shape she's in now. With sin and sickness and disease and trouble around our nation. Not in our nation, but our world. If she could have only recognized what God sent to her. But now her time has come. Lord Jesus. Now watch this. So the Edomites revolted from under the hand of Judah. And this part of the prophecy was fulfilled 900 years. 900 years after Isaac speaks this to Esau, that you'll finally be free from the bondage of your brother. But it wasn't Esau the man, it was his seed. So here they are in church, and they're hearing the sermon of the seed is not heir with the shuck. And they're hearing the choosing of a bride. And then they heard marriage and divorce. It must have been marriage and divorce that made them all blow a gasket. Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. Notice the focus of the hatred. His father gave him something he could never attain to. And this is the reason he hated him. Don't think it's because of your dresses, sister, or necessarily your long hair. It's because of his favor. If you can live this word, you can live a life that these people out here cannot touch. I don't care how bad they want to, how much they try. Oh, Brother Donnie, many of them live a good life. They got the hair on the arm, they got the hair on the neck, but they don't have the right hair with the right seed. I'd rather be bald and have the right seed than have the hair on the arm. Come on, you understand what I'm saying? Because Jacob had that love. He had that something. He had to have that spiritual part. He knew if he could get that spiritual part, the natural part would follow it. It's the same with you and I. If I can put him first, he'll give me what I need. If I've got need of money, if I've got need of food or a place to live, put him first and all these other things will be added unto you. But if you put that first, you're backwards, Esau. Oh my. So you mean he gets a better blessing than I do? He gets the name of God. He gets corn. He gets wine. He gets dew every morning. And he gets the former rain and the latter rain. Nothing like that's promised to Esau. Come on, children. Nothing like that is promised to Esau. So when he hears the difference between the bride's covenant and the church's. Oh, I hate you. You hear me, Jacob? I hate you. Tony Reagan, William Branham, Tim Pruitt. I hate you. Well, that's the difference between you and us. We love and feel sorry for you. Well, praise the Lord. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart. How did Moses know that? Takes a prophet to discern the heart, does it not? Thank you, Lord. That's fresh from the ovens of heaven. Sliced, laid down with thick butter and honey. Hallelujah. And Esau said in his heart. So now all the weeping, oh. Scripture doesn't say he said it aloud or Isaac knew it. But it says it in here. I'll get you. I'll get you. I promise you. You've done it now. You've done it now. Whew. Look at his motive. The motive that really moves him. Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. You see, hate carries the essential spirit of murder. Hate and forgiveness cannot go together. There's no way. Absolutely no way. Hate associates with murder. You understand where this comes back to? The book of Genesis. Whenever Abel offered up his offering before the Lord, and the Lord blessed him, and the Lord received him, we know the pillar of fire came down and consumed the altar and the fire and all that, and gold right up, and here stood Cain, and Cain seeing it, he pulled up his, and he brought all his flowers and all his vegetables and all that, and my lady before the Lord with beautiful flowers, and yet God had no respect to the offering. And if God didn't respect your offering, it didn't respect you. So when Abel come up dragging his little lamb up on the end of a rope, and his little lamb kicking and all of that, and he bring up and he gets a rock and he hacks its neck, and the hot blood, oh, you imagine how sickening that it was. You know how blood smells. That hot blood gushing out of the lamb's neck. Coming out, and his jugular vein was cut. His hands was all bathed and his garment was all bathed with blood. Oh my. But God looked at it and said, that's what I offered for your father and mother. And you wasn't even there. How did he know? Because God let him know. He let him know the right offering. And there stood Cain in church. And Cain got so mad. He said, I'll get even with you. You embarrassed me. You humiliated me, Abel. I'll get you. It ain't no wonder that folks hate preachers. You ought to get mad at the very one who causes preachers to preach the way they do. My goodness, if you're all bent out of shape tonight, don't hate this microphone. It can't help it. If the Word of God gets on your heart and discerns you, do you think I can discern you? Do you think I know what you talked about before coming to church? Don't get mad at me. Get mad at the one that has me to say it. Oh my, can't you see Esau's hatred for Jacob? Like the world and the church, their hatred for the elect. Hatred expresses itself in enmity and ill feeling. Of course, you're not going to find any of these folks, or many of them anyway, that's going to say, I hate Donnie Rick and I hate this. They're going to say, I love him. I'm just glad I don't have a lot of folks that love me that way. You understand? I couldn't take much of that kind of love. But what's amazing is this hatred seems to have went from Esau to his offspring. Can I go just a bit farther? So he carries this grudge. Verse 42. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. We had our dealings with her last week, didn't we? So once again, Rebekah comes on the scene. Now this time she wasn't eavesdropping. But Esau must have told somebody. You see, hatred is the type of thing that a person might bottle it up for a while, and grudges and resentment. But eventually, they will tell somebody. Of course, in this day and age, it's on YouTube and Facebook and, you know, emails and texts and all that sort of thing. Because hatred is the type of thing. It's like love. Love cannot stay in a heart. It's got to come out. If I love you right, I'm going to tell you the truth. That's exactly right. If you brothers love your wives right, I mean, you're not going to make a wonder for 50 years to let her know. You're going to have to express that if it's real true love. So apparently Esau had told somebody, notice how Moses says this, and these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. Poor woman. The very day that she helps accomplish this that she wants for her son, she starts reaping the bad results that very day. Let's stand. Let's stand. Am I going to say it three times? Let's stand. Well, then why do you stop in the middle of the story? I just like keeping you that way under anticipation. When I was a kid at home and we used to have television and watch television, and man, they'd come up and I knew it was getting close to time for that thing to be over, the Rifleman or Matt Dillon or whoever it was. And I was thinking, oh no, oh no. And those dreaded words appear on the screen, to be continued. Years ago, Brother Ken Andes had written down here to the church and he asked for some tapes from the church here. So the brothers at Thomas said, well, you know what, how many do you want? What do you want? So, well, what titles does he have? And said, well, he's got this and this and this. He said, but it's all serious. Oh no, he said, I don't want no serious. He said, that's all Brother Donnie preaches. So either I continue it or I'm going to have a bunch of funerals. Because friends, we'd never stop, believe me. This is eternal. It just keeps right on going. Oh my.
Hallelujah.
Don't you appreciate His grace? Now let's look at the consummation of this service tonight. A prophet of God so determined to give the blessing to a man that it is beneath him. His son Esau, a liar, a deceiver, a hypocrite, a deceiver from the soul. Jacob is a deceiver, all right, but only from the flesh. But God allowed God didn't do it, but God allowed this to be orchestrated and move around in such a way that Jacob would get it. Now look at this family. This family is fixing to be torn to pieces. Jacob is fixing to head to Padan Aram. He'll be there for over 20 years. He will never see his mother again. Esau is fixing to leave from Mount Seir. The family is torn apart. Isaac will no longer see his favorite son the way he did before. Rebekah will no longer see hers. But now you're following the message of that day. And all these problems is inside the first family of the message. So would you still hang around Isaac? I would. Has anybody seen old Donnie O'Ham? Said, yeah, he's still over there. Well, I would have been called Lot. Donnie O'Lot. Ain't no way. I'd have been O'Ham or Ham-O or something or other. I'd have been identified with the word. Would I have understood all of that? No. No more than the people there. But if I knew the word of God came to this man, you tell me how in the world can a man sit there and pronounce things that's going to happen 900 years later without it being a spirit of prophecy on this man. And you want me to turn away because of humanities and frailties and all this, that, and other? No way! You expect me to turn away from a message that there's never been one like it because I can't explain this and that and the other? Forget it! Praise the Lord. You want to leave? Go on. But leave and keep your mouth shut. So at least you can be saved. But for me and my house, we're going to serve God. But Brother Donnie, them mistakes, how in the world could you have confidence in a man that made mistakes? I couldn't have confidence in a man that I didn't see made them. Because he's a shyster and a trickster. He's still making them, but he's hiding them. Can you imagine the children of Israel following Joshua, who's going to give them their land, and some people come in, they're dressed in old clothes, old wore out clothes, and they got old moldy bread, and their saddles is tore all to pieces, and my, they look like they've been dressed for traveling for ever so long, and Joshua makes a league with them, and come to find out they live right across the hill over yonder? And this is the man going to give you your inheritance. Where would you have been, Brother Donnie? Donnie O'Ham. I'm with you, Joshua. Man, I don't understand why you didn't pray and get the leading of the Lord on that, but that ain't going to follow, keep me from following you. I seen what the Lord God done when you marched around the walls of Jericho. I seen what the captain of the Lord's host done. I ain't leaving you, Joshua. I'm with you.
Amen. God bless you, saints. Let's pray together. Lord, as I sat this evening studying this, I just had to stop for a minute, take my hands off of my computer, and just bow my head and thank you for the grace of God that has been so prevalent in humanity. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Zechariah, Zephaniah, Malachi, John, Peter, James, Mark, Matthew. On and on and on we could go. Every one of them had to have your grace. You would have never had one prophet on the earth if you'd have waited for a perfect one. You'd never had one preacher. You'd never had one saint. But Lord, you take us in our imperfections. That's the miracle about it. It's a miracle. It's amazing to me how that you could take these people and do such things with them. Praise God. It gives me such hope for me. It gives me such hope for my brothers and sisters. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, may you take us. May our stubbornness, our arrogant attitudes, our pride, whatever. Father, may we be like Isaac was. Imagine that he must have felt so, so ashamed. And so challenged to see what he was fixing to do. Lord, how many times have I made up my mind to do a certain thing? I'm going to step away from this pulpit, or I'm going to resign, or I'm going to get out of here, or whatever. Make up my mind I'm going to do it. Have it thought through and figured out how I'm going to do it. And all of a sudden, something happened to change me. I get tore all to pieces when I come to myself. And I realize it was your grace. I'm not the only one. There's people standing here tonight could say the same thing. They had plans about this and that and the other and made up their mind they're going to do this or that. But something stopped them. Hallelujah. What was it that day when Brother Branham headed down the road with his 22 to kill them boys? When he was going to try to take his own life. What was it? Sovereignty of God. Oh, we believe in free moral agency. We're all well acquainted with it. It's caused us enough problems. But how grateful I am for sovereignty. A man has many devices in his heart. And most of them, or at least a lot of them, are wrong. But thank God for a sovereign plan. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you tonight, Father. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. We rejoice in your presence tonight, Lord. Let's just love him just a little bit before we go. I know you got work and your children got school and all that, but oh my, we love you, Lord, so much. Thank you, Father. Oh, take our lives, mold us, shape us, Lord Jesus, into that which is pleasing to you, Lord. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Lord, we bring what we have. We bring what we are. We commit it to your hands. It may not be but just a few fishes and some loaves. Oh, Lord, our humanity, our mistakes, our failures, we bring it into your hands. Kept in our hands, it might just make us a lunch. But if we can put it into your hands, who knows what you can do with it? Lord Jesus, take us, Father. If you're willing to take us in our frailties and our humanities, then surely we should be willing to present you with our frailties and our humanities. Thank you, Lord. Praise be to God. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's just sing before we go. He's got it all in control. Sing it now. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He's put that way down in my soul. Sing it now. He's got it all in control. Everybody. He's got it all in control. What do you think about it, Isaac? Oh, he's got it all in control. Put my life in his hands. Yes, Lord. I put my life in his hands. I put my life in his hands. To every road I walk down, I trust. Everybody together now, let's sing it now. He's got it all in control. I know he has. He's got it all in control. He put that reassurance.
is Lord. He gave me eyes so I could look. He sent down a message that would open to me that book. Oh, he wrote my name. Got it all in control. Let's sing it now, children. He's got it all in control. He puts that reassurance way down in my soul. Thank you, Lord. I'm going in the body change. My cells are fixing to be rearranged. In the twinkling of a moment, the power of God will change. Oh, I'm fixing to go in the body change.
Hallelujah!
How many wants to go with me? Oh, we're gonna see him through eternity. All the attributes will be gathered around the throne. When we're gathered in our future,
Lord willing.
Oh, I put my life in his hands. I put it